Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 8, and Aaron's sons, the priests, shall lay the pieces, the head and the fat and all on the wood that is on the fire, which is on the altar, but its inwards and its legs shall be washed in water, and the priests shall burn all on the altar, burnt offering, an offering by fire to Jehovah of a sweet odour. In the book of Daniel, chapter 5, Daniel chapter 5 and verse 16, that I have heard of thee, thou canst give interpretations and solve problems. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with purple, have a chain of gold about thy neck, and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom. And Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself, give thy rewards to another. Yet will I read the writing to the king and make known to him the interpretation. In the book of Genesis, and chapter 14, Genesis chapter 14 and verse 21. And the king of Sodom said to Abraham, give me the souls and take the property for thyself. Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I've lifted up my hand to Jehovah, the Most High God, possessor of heavens and earth. If from a thread even to a sandal thong, yes, if of all that is thine I take anything, that thou mayest not say, I have made Abraham rich. I just want to say a brief word about consistency. One of the greatest hindrances, I think, in the present day to the Christian testimony is the fact that so many of us are inconsistent with what we profess and how we actually live our lives. It's very easy to sit in a congenial atmosphere and speak about the truth and the words of the scriptures, but the test comes when we have to put things into practice in our pathway here. I remember reading a story of a man who was a believer, a young man who was a believer, and he'd made it known amongst his workmates that he was a Christian. And that was a very fine thing. It's not easy today to do that. But it came about that something happened in that workplace to one of the men there. And one lunchtime they were having a serious discussion. And the men said to this believer, do you believe the Bible? He said, yes, I firmly believe the word of God. He said, do you believe that there is a heaven and a hell? He said, yes, I believe that. And then they said to him, do you believe that every one of us here that are unbelievers are going to spend eternity in hell? For a moment he thought and he said, I'm sorry to say, I do believe that. And they said to him, well, why have you never told us? They said, how many nights have you spent in prayer for us? You know, it just brings something of the reality of things into our lives, doesn't it? That man, you know, was a faithful, sought to be a faithful witness. But you know, when it comes to our lives, those that we come into contact with, it comes home, doesn't it? Those that we may have as friends or that we know of, have we been faithful to them? Do we really believe, you know, that lost souls are going to spend eternity in hell? These things are very real, you know, but the challenge comes to us in how we live our lives and whether, you know, we put things into practice. Well, I've read of these scriptures because they speak to us of persons that were consistent. Firstly, and absolutely par excellence, of course, the Lord Jesus. And then Daniel and Abraham. You know, I think it's in Romans chapter 8, when the Pharisees are questioning the Lord Jesus as to his teaching, and they didn't understand what he was saying. And they eventually come to the point and they say to him, who art thou? And the Lord Jesus could say to them, altogether, that which I say unto you. Altogether, that which I say unto you. And I know that many commentators have got different thoughts about that scripture, but it just speaks to me of the fact that everything about the Lord Jesus, his words and his conduct, were absolutely consistent. Everything about him, everything about his life, was absolutely consistent. And that's why I just read that verse in Leviticus, because we know that the offerings all speak to us of the Lord Jesus. And we have the offering brought to the priest. And we know that that offering had to be an offering that was without spot, without blemish. It had to be a male without blemish that they should bring to the priest. And that was what was seen outwardly. That animal, you know, was to be seen to be a perfect sacrifice that would be acceptable in the sight of God. But then, you know, the parts of the animal is slaughtered and it's laid out on the altar. And it says its inwards and its legs. Everything in that sense was exposed to view. And it just speaks to me of the fact, you know, that everything about the Lord Jesus, his outward pathway was absolutely perfect. And yet absolutely his inwards were absolutely pure and perfect too. Every motive and every thought was consistent with his committal and his obedience and devotion to the will of his God. It says that its inwards and its legs shall he wash in water. And I suppose if we take the water to be a picture to us of the word of God, I suppose we can see how everything about the Lord Jesus, inwardly and outwardly, was absolutely in keeping with the word of God, the perfect testimony of God. And I just think we know the Lord Jesus is a model for us, that we should walk in his steps. But it's always good to see him first and foremost as the one who is the perfect model. But then to see too in these men that I've read of, how it worked out in their lives, how they were consistent to the path that they were, to the profession that they made. We know well this scripture in Daniel, don't we? This king Belshazzar, he'd turned away from the God that his father or grandfather knew and had confessed and been brought to know. And Daniel had been relegated, I suppose, in the kingdom. He was of no consequence. Until the moment that this dream, that this hand writing came upon the wall. And as Daniel's remembered. And the king goes to him or calls him. And he says to him, if thou canst read the writing, make known its interpretation. I'm going to give you all these great things. You'll be a very important person in my kingdom. Well, I love to think, you know, of the wonderful dismissive reply of Daniel, you know, thy gifts be to thyself. You see, it wouldn't have been consistent for Daniel to accept anything from the king. His message was that his kingdom was finished, that it was over, it was done. How could he accept anything from a king whose life was just about to be brought to an end? And then you see, it comes to us, doesn't it? What about us? You know, do we believe that this world is a judge system? Do we believe that this world that we are passing through is a system that is under judgment of God, and that soon it is to be folded up and Jesus is going to come and reign? Do we truly believe that? If so, it would govern our pathway here. We wouldn't seek to be building up things in this world, making a name for ourselves, perhaps accepting the honours of the world. But Daniel didn't do that, did he? Thy gifts be to thyself. You see, it would have undermined his testimony. There would have been no power, would there, in what he had to say to the king. If he was going to say to him, your kingdom's finished, how could he accept anything from such a king? He was utterly consistent. His pathway and his testimony were consistent with what he had to tell the king. Well, it's a test for us, isn't it? I know these things are very challenging. I take it to my own heart. Then I love to think of Abraham, you know, what a man he was. I find Abraham a lovely character. I like to follow his pathway through the scriptures. A man of faith. And here he was, you know, he was a man who walked morally above this world. He was in a different sphere altogether. You can see the contrast, can't you, so vividly between him and Lot. You know, what could Lot do? in Sodom. Did he have any power to prevent Sodom being captured and carried away by these kings? None whatsoever. Why? Because he was immersed in the system that was being carried away. Abraham, on the other hand, is a man who lived a separate life, a separate pathway. He was free, you know, of the encumbrances of the world. And so when this disaster comes in upon Sodom and upon Lot particularly, Abraham has power to deal with it. He can go after these kings and bring about a wonderful recovery. He only had 120 men to go out against these five kings, and yet, you know, his power was in the fact that he was a separated man. You know, we'll never have any power to bring any blessing in testimony, to bring any power in testimony, if we are immersed in the things of this world. And so Abraham's coming back, you know, with Lot and with all those that he had rescued. And the king of Sodom comes to him. Give me the souls. Take the property for thyself, he says. I suppose in one sense it would have been a tempting offer. He was offering a lot to Abraham. And yet Abraham, what does he say? He says, I've lifted up my hand to Jehovah, the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. He wasn't going to accept anything from this world, lest they should say that I've made Abraham rich. How could he anyway? He says, I've lifted up my hand to Jehovah, the Most High God, possessor of heavens and earth. He was one who believed, you know, that God could do far better for him than he could do for himself. He wasn't going to accept anything from the world. He knew the one to whom everything belonged. The cattle on 1,000 hills belonged to the God that Abraham knew. Well, is that true for us, you know? Do we believe that God can do better for us than we can do for ourselves? How does it work out in our lives here? Are we expending our resources, our efforts, to get on ourselves? Or are we truly those that are living and walking by faith? Our pathway will show it, and that's where our testimony will be seen. If we really want power in testimony, we need to be consistent with that which we profess. May we be helped to follow the pathway set out above all by the Lord Jesus, the one who is the model, and we should follow in his steps. May we be helped, for his name's sake. Amen. Amen.